Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Federal Reserve speaks, and the markets listen. More profoundly than any political contest are the central bankers speaking with one voice. And it appears momentarily that the central banker of the United Kingdom, Andrew Bailey, the central banker of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, and the central banker of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, are speaking in one direction. More tightening ahead, more concern with the inflation, the global inflation, the UK inflation, the European inflation, the American inflation. And the remedy ahead is either recession or near two, and that means unemployment. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. Liz, a very good evening to you. Since last we talked, Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve governors made a statement that was momentarily confusing to me. In part, the statement talked about lag time for our tightening. So the suggestion was there would be a pause in these jumbo hikes. And then the chairman characterized the decision by the Federal Reserve as saying, we stay the course. We're going to keep going tighter and tighter until we solve inflation. Which is it, Liz? I could go either way, and the markets did momentarily. Good evening to you.
Yeah, the market really seesawed that day as investors tried to interpret what Jay Powell was talking about. I think what he was trying to say, what he was trying to do, was to reinforce the idea that right now combating inflation is the Federal Reserve's number one ambition. And he knows that a big factor in persistent inflation is how consumers in particular anticipate it. So I think he felt it was incredibly important to stomp on what had been rising chatter about a pause, about expectations that the Federal Reserve may have gone too far too fast and they would all of a sudden begin to slow down their rate increases, et cetera. And I think he just wanted to put that to rest. He was like, nope, we are on this path, we're going to continue on this path until inflation is under control, because don't forget, inflation is still above 8% in terms of CPI. Now, where are we now? I think what's become obvious is that the Fed tightening has had an impact. I mean, the economy is slowing down. We are seeing all kinds of leading indicators and trucking surveys and all kinds of things which indicate that the consumer is becoming a little less aggressive. Spending is probably not rising quite so quickly. And even though the third quarter is going to be a pretty good quarter, the truth is there is some deacceleration of the economy. And the problem the Fed has is, in a normal time, that would immediately have led to a weaker jobs market. And I think the one thing that Joe Biden has been able to brag about as president, and that has really confounded the Federal Reserve, is that the jobs market is extremely tight. And it has been throughout the last 2 years. Actually going back to 2019, when unemployment hit 3.5%, which is kind of roughly where it still is. So the jobs market's tight, and because of that, wages are continuing to go up. I mean, in a perfect world, if there was some slack in the labor market, I think what the Fed is doing would more quickly spell a decline in inflation, but it simply hasn't happened. Now, tomorrow, we get a new inflation read. And my guess is it may show some prospect of inflation cooling. There are just too many reasons now to think that there may be some slowdown in inflation including all the kinds of things we've talked about for really weeks now, commodity prices going down, shipping prices going down, the fact that the housing sector, when I talked about the Fed's tightening cycle having some impact, nowhere is that more visible than in housing, which is just collapsing. House prices are down, which eventually will mean rent prices are down. And don't forget, housing and the cost of rentals and so forth is about 30% of the CPI. So there are a lot of reasons to think that the inflation numbers will start to get better. The problem is they're not going to be anywhere near 2% for some time. And I think investors anticipate, after I think it's been four consecutive 75 basis point hikes, that the next one will be 50 basis points in December. I think that's probably realistic, depending on the data that comes in, and most importantly, what we see in terms of how the housing the labor market evolves over the next couple of months.
Let me read the labor market at the high end. This is the Silicon Valley of the future. Twitter, layoffs this month. Twitter, 50% layoffs. Cameo, 25%. Robinhood, 23%. Intel, 20% layoffs this month. Coinbase, 18%. Opendoor, 18%. Stripe, 14%. Shopify, 10%. And then Meta, I saw the number 13,000 or might be more. Apple has a hiring freeze. Amazon has a hiring freeze. Those are the golden rings themselves laying off. So the question here is, fair question about unemployment. Must we get to 6% before the Federal Reserve is satisfied? Is that the magic number, or is it depends kind of number?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, certainly the Fed is anticipating, I would guess, unemployment above 4.5%, maybe 5%. I haven't heard anyone really talk about 6, but it seems to me quite possible that we'll get there, John, depending on the severity of the recession. Everyone anticipates a recession in 2023. Now, everyone could be wrong, but there are certainly an awful lot of reasons, not just in the U.S., but, of course, around the world, with China slowing down rapidly, Europe seemingly entering a recession, et cetera, to think that it's very unlikely we're going to get through unscathed. So in the course of that, in the course of slowing demand growth here, you know, could we see jobs maintain or unemployment stay below 6%? Yeah, maybe. But I think it's just a very complicated thing, because it is that tight jobs market that keeps employers from laying off a lot of people. We've seen layoffs mainly in tech and finance because those sectors have definitely seen weaker demand. I mean, you've heard from the banks, investment banking deal revenues are way down year over year. So yeah, they're letting go investment bankers. They're not huge numbers, but it definitely is a trend. And in tech, you know, we had 2 years of a pandemic, which elevated the demand for every kind of tech company services and goods as they sort of supplied a virtual world. Now, a lot of that has reversed, and so we've seen layoffs in the tech sector. Meta is kind of its own deal, because I just think they have gone so peculiarly into this whole meta universe, and nobody really understands it, and I think they've just got problems sort of unique to themselves. But generally speaking, what you had was an overblown tech sector, which now is having to trim its sales. You know, we're going to see layoffs probably in goods-producing industries accelerate, because inventories are now in pretty good shape. Remember, inventories were very low for an extended period of time because of shipping problems, and because, frankly, also retailers way underestimated how quickly demand was going to come back. So inventories were a disaster. Now they're unfortunately kind of flush just as demand begins to go down. So I think we're going to see layoffs probably in manufacturing come down the road too. So long answer, no one knows exactly what the number's going to be, but I think you'll see unemployment claims begin to climb and unemployment begin to climb as as growth really does slow across the economy and not just in housing.
A puzzling question for me, Liz. Does the Fed watch the markets? Is a bear market pleasing to Jerome Powell and a rally displeasing?
Well, it's an interesting question because I have to say I was rather pleased to see that Jay Powell did not bend over backwards to reassure investors as we approached the midterm elections. I think in the end, it didn't really have much consequence, but had the markets really tanked or gone through the roof, perhaps at the margin, it would have had some impact on consumer sentiment and also on voting. No Federal Reserve chair wants to oversee a market crash. And I think the Fed has to be careful here. The way they have drawn down their balance sheet is very rapid, very unusual. We all talk about interest rates, but it's also that balance sheet that ballooned during the pandemic and that he's having to, you know, they're going from QE to QT, quantitative easing to quantitative tightening, pretty rapidly. And, you know, various economists keep reminding us we've never been through a period like this without some big hiccup. And maybe the hiccup was in the UK where you had all the leveraged holdings of gilts that all of a sudden triggered a real kind of market panic in the gilt market. But we haven't really seen, knock on wood, anything in the U.S. like the failure of a big hedge fund like long-term capital management or some other disruption that might come from but the sudden shrinkage of the balance sheet. So I think we do have to be, I think they have to be careful. I'm sure they know that, but it doesn't mean that they can handle it, you know, that they can guide this ship safely. It's a very tricky thing they're trying to do.
The midterms are not concluded yet. We do not have a lot of races decided. However, when we come back, Liz Peek will comment, as she does at Fox News, about what we know so far. And looking to the next election, we have frequent elections. There's one in 24 already. The starting gun goes off. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Mack.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,